Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and discuss a comic, sometimes on very nice terms, sometimes on not so nice terms. This is Dueling Reviews. I'm Stephen Schleicher. Over there, Matthew Peterson. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
So I let Matthew pick this week, and sure enough, he picked a Marvel comic.
Sure enough, because if I had my way, young sir, we'd be covering like, you
I
know,
did. I said, pick something. And you picked yes. Original Sin number zero. Who is the Watcher? Now, this is number zero of eight. So that means there's nine issues in this series.
Well, I think what it is it's an eight issue series. And this is sort of a setup prequel
primer
for people who aren't familiar with the Watcher.
Yeah. So who is the Watcher? I mean, how accurate is this a depiction that Mark Waid has written? The Watcher that we know that watches but can't interfere.
Uatu, or some people say Uatu.
I say Uatu.
You do, and you're crazy.
Uatu.
I say Uatu. But, you know, either way, he's from another planet. It's cool. He is a man, well, not even a man. He is a creature from an extraterrestrial race known as the Watchers. And the Watchers each have a segment of the universe, and they literally watch. It is their job to watch over certain areas, and they are sworn never to act. Now, in his very
the first appearance, he's jumps into Fantastic Four, and he's like, "Look out, Fantastic Four!
I am sworn not to
act!" Wasn't he warning about the coming of Galactus?
No, his first appearance was in 13. Galactus wasn't till 50.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he was big in the thing of Galactus, and what that story did was that set the precedent of the Watcher showing up at times that are incredibly important.
Things are about to go down.
Like the moment at the end of Secret Invasion where the Watcher showed up and everybody went, "Oh crap, this is important." You know, it hasn't been used as much in recent years, but for many years the Watcher was also the narrator of What If.
Yeah.
Because one of his things is that he can view alternate realities and, you know, different multiverses as well.
And that's what's played out here. Young Nova. What's his name? Is he Star-Lord or just Nova?
He is Nova. This is not the Richard Rider Nova. This is Sam Alexander.
Okay.
Who is a human kid who is the son of a Black Nova. And the Black Novas are apparently the Novas kind of their Black Ops sort of wet works group.
Oh, okay.
Richard Rider was one of the Gold Helmets, one of the Nova Centurions.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has inherited the powers and abilities from his father of basically the Nova's secret grunt soldiers in the field.
So his dad has disappeared at some point in the Nova series that's going on
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it called Nova or Supernova?
It's called Nova.
Okay. So
it's the series that Jeff Loeb is writing, and I think Ed McGuinness at least was drawing.
Doing the art. Okay.
That's why I stopped reading it, because Ed McGuinness draws everybody with an enormous head.
Yeah, well, and roided out muscles. But anyway, he helped stop some Aztec robot thing that Roxxon or somebody whipped up.
That's Toma Zuma, the living totem.
And at one point, I'm guessing the Watcher had, or Nova had met the Watcher or bumped into him out in space, and is fascinated by this guy that constantly watches.
I believe the Watcher is a recurring supporting character in the Nova
in that?
Series.
Okay. So at the end of his battle, the Avengers show up, and he's kind of looking around. Nova's looking around. It's kind of like, well, I was kind of hoping the Watcher would show up because, you know, he always shows up for things. And then the Avengers are like, well, he only shows up for big important things.
It's actually a good scene because Captain America's like, ha ha, that's fun. Wait, you're not kidding?
Yeah. And then Nova says, well, why do you think he watches all the time? And again, Captain America is the one that stumped. It's like, I don't know. Nobody's asked him.
I don't think anybody's ever asked, which that is a very Mark Waid sort of moment right there. That is like the pure Mark Waid.
Yeah. And so Nova takes it upon himself to fly up to the moon, which I thought, so the moon's got to occupy a lot of space. Don't the Inhumans live up there and the Watcher lives up there? And
the Inhumans are no longer on the moon. But
at one point, were they all on the moon?
They were in the same area of the moon, the blue area of the moon, which has roughly Earth atmosphere.
Oh, okay. What about the pirates on the moon?
There are no pirates on the moon. There are whalers on the moon.
Whalers on the moon. We are whalers on the moon. So Nova gets to go inside. Have we ever been inside Nova's or the Watcher's palace thing?
Not extensively. There's an issue of, you remember during the Dark Phoenix saga when Wolverine ended up in the Watcher's house and got zapped across the dimensions?
Oh, okay.
As punishment for showing up in the Watcher's house with ill intent.
Nova gets to visit the armory. It's full of some crazy stuff, including the Ultimate Nullifier.
Which nullifies.
Is that from the Ultimate Universe? Is that the Nullifier from the Ultimate Universe?
No. Virtually everything in this issue is old school fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of like about this, is that, and this is what I really like about Mark Wade as a writer. And I'm asking some of these questions rhetorically because I know that it gives you a chance to talk. And allows us to have but it allows us to have a conversation, right? And to fill in the reader, as opposed to us just clicking our tongues and going, oh, yes, you remember in the Ultimate
Clearly.
You know, we can educate and inform our audience. But here's what I like about Mark Waid's writing is he dives back into, he knows everything about comics. I would bet you could go up against, Matthew, you could go up against a comic book trivia quiz, and he would probably bat 1,000 against you.
Well, I know for a fact that Mark Waid can tell you what Shazam stands for Mary Marvel and Black Adam, and it's not the same as it does for Shazam.
Right.
But yeah, I love the fact that he dives into this, especially since The Watcher and Nova and a lot of these concepts come out of Lee Kirby Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Ultimate Nullifier was the device that Johnny Storm had to retrieve from Galactus's world ship in order to drive Galactus away in his first appearance.
Yeah.
That happened way back in 67 or so.
Yeah, so Fantastic I like that he dives back into this, into this history. And then, of course, we get the story, and I'm guessing this is the story, or maybe it's a modified story.
It is a modified story.
What really happened? Why does the Watcher watch? And so we get to see the Watcher civilization. It's kind of like the Owens, almost, where there are these all-powerful ancient beings, and their own hubris gets the better of them. They think, oh, we should go out and help poor worlds become more advanced. And of course, the worlds they go out and help blow themselves up.
Blow themselves to pieces.
You blew it all to hell.
The interesting thing is this origin, parts of it, date back to Lee and Kirby as well, and like Strange Tales or Tales of Suspense way back in the day. With a couple of notable and, for me, problematic exceptions. The whole thing about the alien race blowing themselves up, the Prosilicans, they kill their whole people.
Right.
What Wade does here that bothers me is he gives UA to the Watcher a Batman origin in that his father...
His parents are killed in an alley?
His father, Emnu the Watcher, is destroyed. Emnu, yeah. But Emnu the Watcher is basically destroyed by what happens on this planet. And throughout all the realities, it comes to pass that Nova seems to discover that the reason that UA2 is looking through the various realities is to find a reality where his dad doesn't waste away into nothing after the death of these people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've given the Watcher, the tragic, driven by loss of apparent Batman origin that is so very... Actually, Nova has it too, now that I mention it. So everybody in comics has one now.
At what point did the Watcher just stop talking to people?
Well, the Watcher is supposed to not talk. And when he does talk, it's generally supposed to be a rare and, you know, odd occurrence in universe. Now, when he's hosting What If, clearly he talks to us.
Right.
When he's talking to us, you know, that's one thing. But in the stories, in the books, he's very seldom seen talking, with the exception of that whole issue where he teams up with Deadpool and punches Deadpool out because he wants to save a kitty or something. But generally speaking, he rarely speaks. And when he does speak, it's supposed to be one of those huge transformational listen the Watcher is speaking moments.
Well, and he certainly does have a transformational moment for Nova, who's asking one question and is like, well, I know you can't really tell, but you know, it'd be important to me. And then the Watcher speaks and it changes Nova's life. Now, will Nova follow up with his word saying, hey, I'm not going to follow up on anything that you tell me. It would make me feel better. I don't know. But here's why this issue works for me, because it makes the Watcher a very sympathetic character instead of this all-knowing, somewhat douchey guy that just kind of stands there and does nothing a lot of the times. So that when he gets, quote-unquote, killed
in an issue or two.
In the next issue, original sin number one, we have a lot more empathy for him. And we're like, oh, poor Uatu. Poor guy. Now, who shot him? I bet it's that no good Nova kid. He was the last person to see him alive.
But I'm really torn on this, because as much as I appreciate, yes, we're giving the Watcher, you know, a little bit of backstory and heart and some, you know, quiet bits that no one has ever learned about the Watcher before, I kind of like some things in the Marvel Universe being just unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we know the history of Galactus now. We know, you know, Galactus's first girlfriend, the Silver Surfer, is out having adventures and running around and being wacky. And Wolverine's origin, you know, and this is how bad it is. I'm using this as an example. Wolverine's origin has been told.
Like three different times.
It's like there are no secrets. There's nothing out there that is untapped. There's nothing where we could just go, holy crap. It's like, you know, old school Star Trek, the original series, everything was off their scale and everything was unknown and everything was exciting and weird and new and freakish. And by the time we get to 1987 and Gene Luc Picard, oh yes, Aldebaran whiskey. It's a different take, and it's a perfectly valid take on the character, but it's one that I think kind of lessens the scope of what Leon Kirby made, which was this vast, unknowable, freakish, big-headed creature in a dress.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the Watcher. I know my son does. It was one of the very first characters that he ever could recognize and say by name. That and Doctor Strange. Yeah, he's got a big head. There's actually a video floating around up on the Major Spoilers website of things. I think it was the start of the S My 4-Year-Old Says. But it's basically, we were walking through the comic book store one day, and down on the lower rack was a Secret Avengers, I think is what it was. Or I forget what it was. X-Men versus Avengers. It was one of those early ones. And he's like, oh, look, Dad, there's Doctor Strange. And I just whipped out my recorder and I was like, who's that? And he's like, Doctor Strange. And starts talking about everything that he knows about Stephen Strange. And then he goes, oh, and that's the Watcher. And I'm like, well, what does he do? And he's like, he sits around and watches TV all day.
Maybe he eats popcorn.
And
that is an adorable, adorable series. And, you know, I would read a book featuring the boy's interpretation of the Watcher.
Oh, man, I may have to sit him down sometime, because he's got a whole different interpretation of things now that he has seen. We've been watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we've been watching them in order of their release so that it all makes sense. And now he's finally ready to go and sit down and watch The Avengers. And he's got a whole different concept of what these characters are and who they are and their relationships to one another, because he was previously exposed to Superhero Squad.
Yes, which is a great show.
So every time I try to keep telling him that's a cosmic cube, he's like, yeah, I'm going to call it an infinity shard or whatever they call him on that show. And then, of course, he played the Avengers Lego game. So he also wants to call it a cosmic brick. I'm like, okay, whatever, man.
That's the thing. He's showing signs of comic book nerdery, in that he's already getting opinionated and deciding he likes different names better.
I told him not to talk to you because you'd have a conniption. What? Nah. What is your problem, boy? That's a cosmic cube.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I'm a big believer in personal continuity. You'll note that, you know, there are certain characters that their names I pronounce bizarre. You say Uatu, like I say Uatu. Let's call the whole thing off. It's Bizarro.
What'd you think of the art? Do you like the art?
I like the art a lot. I'm a fan of Jim Chung when he has a chance to really work his art. Jim Chung is one of those guys where you can't count on him to do a series that comes out every 30 days.
Yeah.
But what does come out and what he gets is really good looking stuff. Nova, who, again, I dropped Nova's book because I didn't like the look of him under the current artist. Nova, if it were drawn like this in the Nova series, I think I would still be reading it. Nova looks great.
Yeah, it looks
the
like
Watcher
a kid.
The Watcher looks amazing.
And what's his name? Tumazuma.
Tumazuma, the living totem.
Yeah, it looks really rad.
Fantastic Four number 80, I believe.
Looks really rad.
He's a totem.
I know. Well, he's a robot.
With robots,
you can do this. With flesh and blood, you must subdue. Everything else you may destroy.
Robot roll call. Tumazuma!
I heard that Joel wants to get the show back together.
I heard that. Joel wants to get the band back together with everybody but Jim Mallon.
It's a little bit uncomfortable there. I enjoyed this issue more than I thought I was going to.
As did I. I'm really leery of Original Sin because, first of all, they're killing or, you know, pretending to kill or making a big point of killing with the intention of maybe bringing back, I don't know, a big time. I shouldn't say big time Marvel character, but
who?
Dang it. The Watcher is a big deal. The Watcher is Leon Kirby.
I know, but who are they bringing back?
Well, that's the thing. If they bring him back, I guess is what I'm saying. Oh. They're planning to kill off the Watcher, and this is supposed to set into motion a series of horrible things.
Floating
and
eyeballs.
Yeah, and it could.
And somebody is going to take on the power of the Watcher.
It could
just
be
like
wonderful.
The Phoenix Force.
It could be wonderful, but as you'll find with many Marvel things, the setup is always this deep psychological awesomeness, and they're like, what would happen if this were to happen? What would we do?
And then they all
but the answer is
punch
yeah,
each other
the answer
in the
is
face.
Always and then they fight. You know, it's Secret Invasion. Well, the Skrulls have come and they've taken over the world and they've undermined the heroes' confidence in one another and they've made the heroes fight and attack each other and then they fight.
You know, that whole Skrull invasion thing, instead of all of a sudden turning into a reveal and then you know, big fighty, I think it would have been kind of cool as if they did take over. I mean, they had essentially taken over. But I mean, then Nick Fury really could have gone under deep cover and they could have spent a year just infiltrating and rooting out all the Skrulls and then flipped the switch. So all their disguises turned off. Because
and then they'd be like, oh no.
And then there's that one shot. They'd be like, hey baby, what's wrong? And then
Spider-Woman would look up at Hawkeye. And he'd be like, oh, my God.
At least three of our listeners got that reference.
Four, five, six.
All right.
Does Rodrigo count as a listener?
I don't. Has he seen that? I'm sure he's seen that movie.
Oh, I know Rodrigo has seen that.
But just that last little line, if people would get that. I don't know. We'll see. Certain. If you got that reference, use the comment section, majorspoilers.com. I say pick up Original Sin number 0. It's worth it just to get some good Mark Waid action, and heaven knows we need some more Mark Waid action in our comic books these days. He's doing Daredevil. What else is he doing?
He's doing Hulk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the new Hulk number 1 came out. I reviewed that for the site, and it's kind of a shockeroo.
Good? Good in a good way? Like,
yeah.
Who shot Bruce Banner?
Yeah, and it's good in a very surprising way.
Cool.
And I shouldn't be surprised that I'm surprised because it's Waid. But yeah, it does something with the Hulk's status quo that I don't expect to last forever. But it's one of those things that, yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome.
Does he turn back into the Gray Hulk?
No.
Oh, dang it.
It is not a variation on something we have seen 100 times.
Does he turn into the Purple Hulk?
He doesn't turn into a different colored Hulk. He is still a Green Hulk.
Does he turn into the Smart Hulk?
You know what I wonder? Everybody who knows Bruce Banner at some point has been a Hulk.
Yeah.
Do you suppose that Bruce
Mark
Banner
is going to turn into the Hulk?
Leaking mutative gamma radiation, well, and that's why his ex-wife and his father-in-law and his friends and his ex-girlfriend and everyone he's ever met turns into a Hulk.
Is that what's happening?
He's bleeding radiation and they're turning into Hulks.
I mean, is that literally what's happening in the story? Spoiler alert.
No. No, this is something that's already
happened. That would not be any different than Peter Parker killing Mary Jane.
Mary Jane with
because
her
of
super
his radioactive sperm.
Well, it would be a little different because, frankly, radioactive sperm is just dumb. But
well, I'm leaking radiation all over the place.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's kind of a cute idea, but what do you do with it?
Yeah.
If you look at it, Rick Jones has been a Hulk. I think he still is. Betty Ross is a Hulk. His cousin is a Hulk.
Well, but that's from a blood transfusion, though.
Right. His father-in-law, Thunderbolt Ross, is a Hulk. Has Glenn Talbot become a Hulk yet?
Sure.
He's busy trying to kill Agent Coulson on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man, I got to get caught up on that now.
Oh, this week's episode. Oh,
although
Scott Kurtz
says I only have to watch like the last four episodes, and I don't need to watch any of the other ones. Would you agree with that assessment or not?
Because
I could just skip ahead, but I kind of want to see Jamie Alexander pop up. I kind of want to see the Thor tie in.
I would say the Jamie Alexander episode forward, you'd probably get the gist of things, but
yeah, I'll go along.
A lot of the stuff that they're building with, it's going to be something where there are reveals in there that are based on previous episodes.
Yeah, I know. That's why I kind of want to watch. Only because I'm up to the point the last episode I watched was the Chitauri virus in the helmet, the electrical virus.
Chitauri virus. So, wow, that's been a while.
Yeah, I know. I've got a long ways to go to get caught up. So, but yeah, hail Hydra, everybody. Pick this up or not pick it up, Matthew?
I would say not for $5.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. God,
I didn't know you were going to
point me to the most expensive book that came out this week.
I didn't realize it was a $4.99. I thought it was like a little $2.99 or $1.99 prelude book.
It would have been great as a $1.99 book.
$4.99 for what, 27 pages?
33, I thought.
33 pages. Okay, so it's bigger than your average Marvel book, almost, half again the size of a
33.
I don't know. Are Wade and Chung the creative team for the rest of the original Sin Limited?
I don't think so. If they are, I'm reading the whole thing.
I don't know if they are. Let's see.
Let me go to the last page here. Last page.
Warnings come to pass. I don't know.
It doesn't say.
For $4.99.
Of course, there's like 27 spinoff tie-ins things that continue.
This is a pleasant story. This is a well-crafted story. It's a well-drawn story. It's kind of a Philip on a Philip for me. It's like a hat on a hat. The Watcher is the guy who has this mysterious watchery thing, and now that mysterious watchery thing, is driven by the fact that he watches his father bleed out in Cosmological Crime Alley or something.
But who watches the Watcher?
Who watches the Watcher?
Yeah.
Adrian Veidt.
Ah, okay. Of course, he said that, 45 years ago. yeah. Next week.
I cracked myself up. See, because Adrian Veidt was in Watchmen.
Dark Horse Comics next week. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh. Whoops, wait a minute. What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Well, I thought this was next week's comics, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10 Number 2 came out this week. I thought, no, this says upcoming releases next week.
I may have
spoiled something on that.
Man, you're fired.
Nah, probably. Conan the Avenger number 1 comes out next week. The Eltingville Club. Don't know what that's
number
about.
Number 1?
Yes, number 1.
I believe that is the Eltingville Comic Book Club thing. Welcome to Eltingville. For a while, it was on Adult Swim. It's, what's his name? The guy with the thing and the milk and cheese.
Evan Dorkin.
It's either Dorkin or the guy who draws.
It's Evan Dorkin. I just looked it up. Mass Effect Foundation number 10, Massive number 22, Someplace Strange hardcover 1999, Tomb Raider number 3 from Gail Simone, and Witcher number 2. Maybe we ought to dive into some Tomb Raider action. We'll see what else is on this list. DC Comics has All-Star Western number 30, Batman Eternal number 3. Are you sure? Oh, this says these are all the ones that came out this week. Stupid previews world. You've got these listed for next week.
Batman
and you're using last week's stuff, you guys.
Batman.
You guys got me there. Next week. How about Atomic Legion hardcover? Blackout number 2 from Dark Horse Comics. Furious number 4. Serenity Leaves on the Wind number 4.
Ooh.
DC Comics has Adventures of Superman number 12. Batgirl Annual number 2. I'm so mad at these guys didn't have their stuff taken care of. Flex Mentallo, Man of Muscle Mystery, trade paperback, comes out.
Man, when I grow up, I want to be Flex Mentallo.
Oh, Flash Annual has a big shocking bit at the end of it. Or maybe it was today. Maybe it was this week's Flash number 30 that had the big shocker on the end.
Is it the one with Ollieway?
It's the one with the guy that's dead in the future, and he's everybody's favorite Flash, even though Jeff Johns says Garrick? No. Yeah, right.
Ollieway Estway?
Yes, that guy.
You don't speak pig Latin?
Huh?
This is awesome. I'm going to use this against you.
No. Vertigo Quarterly number 1 comes out next week. DC Comics, those are some action figures. IDW Publishing has Dexter's Laboratory number 1, Ghostbusters number 15, Jericho Trade Paperback season 4. You can get the whole season in one book for $19.99. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, number 18.
I thought it was My Little Brony Friend Zone is Tragic.
There is a parody comic book that was a My Brony something or other that came out a week or so ago. I don't know anything
about it. I should be nice to the bronies.
Yeah, what have they done to you? Chew number 41 comes out next week. Dream Police.
They're inside of my head. The Dream Police, they sit and watch my bed.
That's right. Image Comics. Let's see what else comes out. From Image Comics, we have Sex Criminals number 5, second printing of that. Starlight number 1, second printing. Those are both good books. Marvel Comics has a whole bunch. No, maybe not so many. Amazing Spider-Man number 1, Animaniman.
Amazing Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man number 1, Animaniman.
You know,
This is the return of Peter Parker.
Well, let's see if anyone has called Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm sure Chris has. Hulk number 2, Animaniman, comes out. And then you got Captain America Trade Paperback Volume 3.
I'm sorry, we've got what?
Captain America Trade Paperback Volume 3.
There is something seriously wrong with your medulla oblongata, son.
If you're going to say Marvel Masterworks, spell out Marvel Masterworks. Don't whatever the heck it is. What if Age Marvel of Ultron Men? Number 5, Wolverine number 5, X-Force number 4.
Force X.
And the rest, we have Atomic Robo Knights of the Golden Circle number 1 out next week. Oh, I want to read that one so bad.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Battlestar Galactica number 10, Betty Veronica Double Digest comes out.
If you know what I mean. I don't know what I mean. Somebody tell me.
Doc Savage number 5 from Dynamite Entertainment.
Adam, all of a sudden you're from Texas.
Yep, I'm from the South.
Dynamite Entertainment.
That's a mighty fine Grim Fairy Tales number 12, no price, $4.99.
Did I tell you about the lady today who was announcing my daughter's music competition?
Oh, you were doing a music competition. I thought you were out doing another museum trip or something.
It was music recognition at K-State, and the lady had this lovely Texas drawl, and you know how I use "you know" as a comma word?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
She used, "Do you know that they say that Home on the Range was the cowboy national anthem?" And it was really cute because she kept saying, "Do you know that in Poland they have a place called Warsaw?" And I'm just like, it was truly, truly, and I'm not making fun of her because it was delightful to listen to her talk.
She's probably listening to this episode right now. A tear is rolling down her cheek.
I was actually more worried about people from Texas or people, you know, with a Southern accent or any type of accent, feeling like I'm mocking them with my neutral Kansas hard K's and the stupid thing that I do. But remember, kids, if you listen real close, I have a sizzling S on my S's.
And a wh in your W's.
I don't have a wh in my W's.
Do.
I do not have a wh in my W's.
Why do you think I always make fun of you?
Quill Wheaton.
Exactly.
You make fun of me because you're a mean, mean man.
Warlord of Mars, Deja Thoris, trade paperback, number 5 comes out.
Oh, Deja Thoris.
That's turning into a 100 issue, I think.
Deja Thoris is the strange feeling that somehow you've been naked before.
Oh, boy. Oh, Ray number, was it Ray or Rye number 1 from Value Entertainment? Rye number 1 comes out next week.
Rye.
$3.99.
Ray is from DC Comics.
Oh man, I missed the Ray. Wasn't that Joe Quesada did that? The Ray?
Not Quesada. Well, yeah, Quesada relaunched him in '94. The last Ray was
That's the one I like.
Palmiotti. Jimmy Palmiotti. They did that thing. They were trying to bring back the Freedom Fighters, and they had the Ray Limited and the Phantom Lady Limited, and everything sort of just.
Yeah, I like the one from the '90s. That's the one that I liked.
Yeah, with the helmet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And the cool epaulette jacket that made him look like he was in a marching band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I the like Topeka that High Chargers.
So what are we doing next week? Amazing Spider-Man animated.
Amazing Spider-Man number one, because we didn't get to do
Superior Spider-Man number 31 or 30 or whatever it was.
Superior Spider-Man due to technical difficulty.
Yeah, here's what happened. My credit card got hacked, and they canceled the card immediately. Once that happened. And so, of course, I couldn't get my books from Comixology because it uses my credit card on file. And since I don't have another credit card, I couldn't make my purchases.
That heartbleed, man. You got to watch for that heartbleed.
I don't think it was heartbleed. They didn't. Somebody was trying to charge some like room charge to a Florida hotel.
Yeah, it was heartbleed. Heartbleed lives in Florida.
Is that where he lives? I'm going to go
kick
his ass. Oh.
Heartbleed. Yeah.
Is that the last name or the first name? Joan Heartbleed.
That's actually her alias.
Joan Heartbleed.
Her alias. She's also one of those girls who spends time on cameras, like Allie Larder in the first season of Heroes.
Hey, are you interested in reading?
He said significantly.
Are you interested in reading the Star Wars Rebel Heist comic book adaptation?
I don't know.
I think I kind of am, because I don't have time to read a 700-page book.
Well, and the thing that I have about Star Wars comics that's always difficult is either it's, you know, Star Wars actually lines them up, the A canon, the B canon, the C canon.
Well, it's actually G, S, something else, I forget, in canon.
No. They actually have these, or had, I don't know if they still do under the new regime, but there's a level of my brain that actually goes, well, this is clearly not canonical to the real Star Wars, which consists of the movies and anything with Jackson, the giant green rabbit.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, but
yeah, there's yeah, yeah.
Sometimes
I teach this class. I teach this class on Star Wars. We actually went all over the different classifications of canon in the Star Wars universe.
Well, let's see. There's the
ion cannon.
Ion cannon. The proton cannons on the top and the bottom of the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. Pew, pew, pew.
Yep.
Okay, kid, don't get cocky.
Today we talked about Star Wars toys and collectors versus players. And what does that say about our culture, et cetera, et cetera. It was
I
fun
still
class.
Have a big head on Solo.
That, do you? I do, too. It's not mint in package. It was heavily played with.
By the way, Big Head Han Solo and the Monsters put out a great CD in about 94, 95.
The punk band, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a skiffle band.
Actually. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, ska punk. That's what it was.
Yes, that's what it is. From the planet Xenophobe.
All right, everybody. I think that wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. You can follow me at Major Spoilers on Twitter, and you can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra. And of course, you can use the comment section over at MajorSpoilers.com to share your thoughts about Original Sin number 0. And if you're so inclined, maybe you want to buy some trade paperbacks. Maybe you want to buy your own e-device so that you can read your comics. If you want to do that, click on that Amazon.link over at Amazon.com, and it's not going to cost you anything extra. But everything that you purchase, you're going to get shipped to you the exact same way that you want it shipped. It's going to cost the exact same price that it says it's going to cost. Only difference is Amazon gives us a little bit back for pointing you in their direction. And heck, if you're already going to buy something over at Amazon, do us a little favor. Help us do more shows like this and many other shows at the Major Spoilers Podcast Entertainment Network.
The Network of Entertainment. Let's all go to Major Spoilers and have ourselves a snack. Man, I need a hot dog.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.